At the end of the day, with me, Ronnie Barber, Chris Pringle on the line. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Ronnie.
Right, let's get stuck into ticket prices. The lovely Karen Brady at West Ham United, she's caused a wee bit of a furore for the rest of the Prem clubs, saying that they're going to be looking at cheaper prices because they're moving to Olympic Stadium, and they think that's the model for Premiership League clubs to think about how they price and to cut their prices. What do you think?
Well, I think she's also said because of the windfall from the Premier League, the £5.3 billion new TV deal, it's time to pass some of that money on to supporters. So I don't think anybody can argue with that. Obviously, there's two sort of prongs to it. There's that side, but there's also an additional perhaps 90,000 seats that West Ham need to fill when they go to the Olympic Stadium. So a great bit of business, and also I think a good bit of forward planning as well. If they can sell season tickets in advance at a reduced rate, that's a good bit of business for the club, but also fills the stadium. So yeah, I think other clubs do need to look at it.
I was looking at the stats, Chris. I think about half of the Prem clubs have frozen ticket prices. Chelsea have frozen their season ticket prices for the last 4 years. I think Man United have as well. Do you think there's a wee bit of reality? I mean, Karen Brady's saying that it's one of the top things that when they meet, all the Prem clubs meet, affordability is top of the agenda. Do you really think that's the case?
Well, I think with Man United and Chelsea, they're filling their stadium week in, week out anyway, and perhaps feel, as a business, they can't really justify increasing from probably, I don't know all the ticket prices, but probably already pretty high levels. So I think in order to not alienate your fan base, you've got to try and be seen to look after them. Still fairly difficult economic climate. So I think it's right that people should do that. But it's not cheap going to football anymore. Often people want to go as families, dads and mums taking kids, etc. You're talking, £200 perhaps to go to a huge game. So it's not a cheap day out.
Because the Everton fans have come right back about West Ham and said that for the last game of the season, they're having to pay £55 to watch the Everton versus West Ham, which kind of pokes a wee bit of that idea that is making it affordable.
Yeah, I think the lot of the away fan can be quite a tough one. Often sort of put into difficult parts of the ground, perhaps up in the gods or in hidden in the corner, and then paying a premium for the privilege. So I don't really think that's a great way to treat people generally. They're still customers, albeit away supporters. So I think away supporters do need to be looked after better and really be treated the same as the home fans. I don't think that's right at all.
So that might just trickle down then to the lower league clubs. Nottingham Forest. What's Notts Forest like price-wise, Chris?
Well, they do for the home games, they sort of change the ticket prices depending on the category of game. Then that's for all supporters. So, if it's lined up as a big game, you're going to pay more. But everybody now seems to be doing the, buy your ticket in advance at this price, but then on match day, you're going to pay sort of £2 or £3 more. I think that's totally wrong. You end up paying a surcharge for booking online, which I find weird. Yeah. As a customer, I think some of these things need looking at, and really it doesn't feel that customer friendly at all. Interesting, locally, I see Cambridge United have frozen their prices, and also they're looking at reduced prices for families and children. So I think that's a great idea. Again, trying to sell more season tickets, trying to get more loyal supporters. I think Jez George has mentioned perhaps the cheapest junior ticket will be as cheap as about £3 or £4 to watch
fantastic.
A game. I think that's fantastic news.
That's one of the most stupid questions I've ever heard in my life. You test my patience.
So, Chris, let's just talk and stay on watching football in this country. Is it as good as it could be, do you think, watching a game of football in the UK?
Well, I've watched the Bundesliga highlights. My son loves it. He gets up on a Saturday morning and he puts that on, and you see the Bundesliga stuff, and you see the full stadiums, the colour around the ground, the safe standing, obviously, the fans bobbing up and down, and clearly a fantastic atmosphere. So I think, and I'm hoping actually to get out to a game in Germany at some point, in the next season or so. My son's desperate to go out there. But I think, is it the same over here. I'm not quite sure. I think my experience varies. Sometimes the atmosphere can be a bit flat and stadiums aren't always full. So I think we've got a little bit to learn from the Germans.
Did we lose something when we went because of safety concerns and we don't have real proper standing areas anymore? Did we lose something from the game, do you think?
Possibly. And I think, thinking about where I watch football at Forest, I think you get pockets of supporters that like to sing and shout sort of around the ground rather than sort of them congregating in one part of the stadium. So, maybe that kind of changes the atmosphere a little bit. You hear certain clubs talk about it being like a sitting room sort of experience and whatever else. And I think maybe the demographics, quite rightly, of people watching the game has changed, and that's not a good thing. Many more families involved, which is brilliant to see. But I think at times, I think maybe looking at the safe standing thing might help, trying to get people sort of up on their feet, having a sing, getting behind their team. So, why not? I think it sounds to me a great idea.
When you think about it, one of the great things about football, and I think this is peculiar to the United Kingdom, is the banter's immense. When you go along to a game and you hear quips and everything, and I'm 100% sure the banter in stands is nothing like it, when you're standing. It's a different... It's some games, I've been to a couple of Prem games, Chris, and it's clinical. It's very... the facilities are fantastic, but there's no... Some of these places have no real heart to them.
Yeah, and again, I think that's because you've got almost the real sort of core fans dispersed around the ground.
Yeah.
And if you can get them sort of, behind a goal together, sort of creating that buzz, and nothing better when I think back to early years of watching football when you almost get those impromptu chants and the witty stuff. I'm not talking about abusive stuff and bad language. I'm talking about, supporters reacting to maybe something that's happened on the pitch and coming up with a witty chant and everybody having a laugh and that bit of banter, as you call it. Fine line between the banter and obviously the abuse, and we don't want that, and the bad language, etc., because that's going to deter the families. So, but I think something could be done, and maybe safe standing is that option for people to look at.
One Chris Pringle. There's only one Chris Pringle. How do you like that? How do you like those, eh? Not bad at all. Just talking, on the serious side, you're watching a game at grassroots level, where it's children or, the Kershaw League level, you want fans along there as well. And I know that you kind of talk to clubs about responsibility to make sure the game is treated properly by players and fans alike.
Yeah, definitely. And, even looking at our cup finals, we had 500 plus at Cambridge City Sarum the other night. Fantastic evening out, good atmosphere, etc. And even at Kershaw level, getting to the end of the season, we're getting some decent crowds coming along and watching the game. It's important that we get people standing behind the rope, whatever level, sticking to the respect barrier, the behaviour that we're looking for, and really looking to encourage and support and be positive and not stand there sort of criticising referees and getting on people's backs and all the rest of it. So, let's celebrate that positive side of being a supporter.
Goal! Yes! Yes! Goal!
So, Chris, what's the week been like for you this week?
Been a good week. We've met Roy Turnham. Roy's an England international playing for the England blind team, so he's recently moved into the area, came to see us. He's busy training at the minute for the European Championships later in the summer, and they're off to Korea in a few weeks' time on a training trip. Lovely guy, absolutely fantastic, passionate about the game, but really kind of humble that he's got the opportunity to play for an England team. So I think that's really great. So all links to our wider disability work through the Parability Project. So looking to try and do more of this sort of thing. And as always, when you're trying to develop players and give people the chance to play at international level, you need a good solid base. So looking to get as many people involved in that project as we can, as many teams as we can. Looking to raise some money so we can continue this work over the next 4 years. So that's something that we'll be doing shortly and launching that campaign. But yeah, really lovely guy and fantastic to see, somebody living locally playing for England.
Was there a system, Chris, for Parability that the FA and did he go through that system to get to this level?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a programme called Playground to Podium established for 4 or 5 years now, where sort of grassroots players can get the chance to get involved in talent ID trials and then be put into sort of regional centres of excellence and then be given the chance to progress up to international level. And that's really similar to how things work with the FA with, for example, the girls' programme. So he had that opportunity just to play, and he just wanted to play. And he, I think previously he was an athlete, so he was a good sportsman anyway, but with a great passion for football. So Roy thought, oh, it's brilliant, I've got a chance to play football. There's now a talent ID structure. That really encouraged him to move from athletics to football because he wanted to play for England, and he's realised that dream. So that's fantastic.
You're saying there, Chris, that you know it's something that you're going to have to raise money for in the future, Parability. What kind of response do you get generally from the community when and you know, companies, organisations? Are they very proactive in helping you along?
Yeah, we've got some good sponsors locally who traditionally have supported a number of our projects. To be fair, Roddy, we need to now sort of start talking to some new people and then really, you know, selling some of these initiatives and the importance of supporting people like Roy and developing opportunities for as many people as we can. In terms of funding, it's more and more competitive. We talked about this last week in terms of having to draw down funding. So we really want to try and speak to as many companies as we can, raise awareness of things like the Parability project. I'm sure people will be interested in supporting us. So, you know, over the next few weeks, we'll be launching that programme and getting out to as many people as we can.
And I gather CAMS FA are in the papers this week.
Yeah, we've got our first edition of In Off The Post. So we've got a page in the Cambridge Evening News. That's going to be a monthly thing. So this first edition, we've done a little introduction, a team lineup showing our 4-3-3 lineup of who works for CAMS FA and what they do. So we're forward thinking. It's a nice sort of... Free moving total football lineup. So we've got that in there. We've got a story about flexible football, profile on mini soccer, and also some support things for clubs using the IT portal, some stuff on disability. So it's great. Really good to be working in partnership with the news. Great to have our own page. It's clearly sort of got our identity all over it, and a great chance for us to showcase our work. Also in the paper, there's a story about Groundsman of the Year. That's something else that we've been promoting. So Simon Crowe's in there, and that's a really... People want to play on decent pitches, so it's, again, great to see coverage of things like that. But, yeah, more and more coverage in the papers is only going to help raise awareness of what we do.
Nottingham Forest away to Ipswich, and you're going to the game. Is Mrs Pringle going?
No, not okay. Mrs Pringle's taking the two boys with me. So we're heading down there. Talking about ticket prices, £37 for a senior ticket there. So that'd be a nice cheap day out for the Pringle family.
Wow.
So, yeah, a bit of compensation for Mrs Pringle. I'm taking her out for a meal Saturday night. So
nice.
That's the compensation for being out all day.
Yeah, well, it will be 37 quid then, you know, the meal?
Probably a little bit more.
Good.
Yeah, got a little bit of a taste for the sparkling stuff before a meal, Mrs Pringle. So, yeah, we might need to put the hand a bit further into the pocket. It'll be a good day. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to be an interesting game because, you know, Ipswich are trying to get a stay in the playoff and it's really tight at the top of the championship. Can I have a prediction?
Well, I think Ipswich will be clear favours, but I Dun Forest have been scoring goals in 3-3 last week at Blackburn, and so I think we're going to give them a bit of a run for the money, and I think it's got a feeling for the Brentford game the other week when Forest were 2-0 up and it pegged back to 2-2, so I'll give one of my colleagues here, who's a busy Ipswich supporter, I'll give them a bit of credit. They'll come back and get a 2-2 draw and get a point. Hopefully that'll keep them in the playoffs.
Back of the net.